You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
All right. Got your Bible?
Amen.
Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 1. We'll start there in Matthew 1. We're still teaching on Jesus, his ministry. In fact, even when I ministered at the Genesis Center, I just kind of stayed with it and talked about Jesus being a deliverer. He's delivered us. Hallelujah. You know, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, act like that. Big deal. I'm delivered. It is a big deal. If you ever get afflicted, it's a big deal to get delivered.
It is.
Thank God the Lord delivers us out of them all. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I just ministered on that Sunday night how that he is a deliverer. Tonight I want to talk about him being a Savior. Now, I know we just think about being born again, going to heaven, but I mean, he saves us. He rescues us. He frees us. That means something. He is a Savior. Notice what it says here in Matthew 1. In fact, when talking about the birth of Jesus, it gives us how it took place and so on and so forth. And in the 21st verse, it's this angel is speaking now to Joseph and says, "And she shall bring," speaking of Mary, "she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." He will save them from their sins. So he was so named by the angels. I think that's interesting. Joseph and Mary didn't really name him. They just gave him the name the angel told them to give him. Jesus meant Savior or Deliverer. It's the equivalent of Hebrew Joshua. Joshua and Jesus, same word, really. And so Jesus was raised up to save us. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know we need to be saved. You know, some people don't understand what saving means. I remember years ago, Datsun had advertising, Datsun Saves, you know, or Toyota Saves or one of them. I can't remember which one it was. But people just use that loosely, like save me money or save this or save that. Well, you know, we don't know we need to be saved from anything. Most people, and he's talking about sin in particular, most people in sin don't realize they're in bondage to it. They don't realize the torment that comes from it. They don't realize they're a slave to it. And Jesus came to save us from our sins. I love that. Because we think, even as Christians sometimes, we think of Jesus saving us from the penalty of sin or saving us from hell. And that's true. He does that. But this verse says he saves us from our sins. Not just from the consequence of it. Not just from the penalty of it. He did that. Thank God we're going to heaven, not hell. I know that. But here he's saying he saves us from our sins.
Amen.
Hallelujah, somebody. Because
I
think if we're not careful, we'll go through life as a Christian, say, well, I'm saved, and not really think so much about sin, because praise God, our sins have been washed in the blood, and we're going to heaven, and everything's fine. But we're not thinking about he saved us from our sins. We don't have to keep sinning. He didn't just save me from the penalty, he saved me from them.
Yeah.
And see, a lot of times we're not aware of how much in bondage we are to sin. Well, I just have a little anger issue. No, you're a slave to the anger. The anger, it torments you. It messes you up. You know, you get on a subject, you disagree with, and all of a sudden anger comes up, and here we go again. See, you're a slave to that. Now, God doesn't condemn you, and we don't either, and that's not what we're saying. Jesus came to set you free from it. That's what we're saying. You don't have to keep being angry all the time. It could be some immoral sin. Some people have a real problem with certain sins. In this day and age, you hear a lot about pornography, especially with the internet and all those kinds of things. You know, God came to deliver you from that. Getting real quiet. I'm not pulling everybody out. I'm just saying, listen, God came to deliver us from our sins. Well, I can't help myself. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I'm here to tell you, God doesn't hate you. He loves you. He came to deliver you from it, praise God. You can come out of it. That's the good news. It's not condemnation that you're in it. It's freedom that you can come out of it, hallelujah. There is a hell, but thank God you don't have to go there. There is sin that holds people back, but thank God you don't have to sin. I'm not saying you're going to live a perfect, sinless life and never sin in your life, but you can overcome sin. You follow what I'm saying here? Hallelujah. So he came to save us from our sin. Woohoo! Y'all sound real excited about that. Turn over to John. John 3. Oh, hallelujah. See, I don't think we really meditate enough on what's taking place here. You know, thank God I'm going to heaven. You know, there was a time I was going to hell. There was a time I was lost and undone without God. There was a time I did not know Jesus. And praise God, I found Jesus and I was born again and now I'm going to heaven. I understand that. And that's eternal. I realize that. But I'll tell you something else that happened to me. He delivered me from my sin. I don't even live that way anymore. I don't want to live that way anymore. I got saved from it. I got rescued out of it. See, I was a slave. I thought I was cool. I was just a fool. No, really, I thought I was cool. I thought, man, hey, I'm cool. You know, drugs, jails, all those kinds of things. And you almost wear it like a badge of honor. You know, you go to jail. Yeah, I got thrown in jail. Well, man, you're a fool. What are you proud of something that's destroying your life and everybody else? You're part of the problem, not the answer. But see, it so deceives us and so blinds us, we get to thinking we're something. We're macho. Guys, it'll be macho kind of deal, you know. We're our own man. No, you're just a fool is all you are. I can call it like it is because it's the truth. Because the fool said in his heart there is no God. And see, in those days, I was acting like there was no God. So I was a fool. And the way I was living then, without Jesus, not holy, living in sin, that's the kind of stuff that breaks up marriages. That's the kind of stuff that ruins children's lives. That's the kind of stuff that causes families to be broken up and kids to be raised up with no daddy. That's not cool. That's blinding. I'll tell you something else. It's bondage. And praise God, Jesus saved me from my sin.
Praise God.
He saved me from my sin, see. Not just save me to go to heaven. He saved me from my sin.
Yeah,
hallelujah. Yeah. And he loved me. He didn't hate me during that time. And I think churches make a big mistake when we get up and we paint these bleak pictures, but we leave it there and we condemn the person, tell them they're no good and they're worthless and I hate their mama and I hate their papa and they've never done a good thing in their life, but God loves them. We love them. God bless their dirty, rotten little hearts. You know, it's almost we say it in a condemning manner, but we have to understand we're all there at one time. And God still loves the world. That's what John tells us in the third chapter. This is what's amazing. How does God look on the world in that mess? We got a world that's in a mess. You can look around and see it. How does God perceive it? How does God see it? What's his perspective? What's his angle, as it were? For God so loved the world. In the midst of all that, he still loves them. He sees what they can be. He sees their potential. And you know what? He really sees them as slaves to something he can set them free from. You ever think about it that way? When you see somebody out there in the world and see somebody out there in sin, do you just get self-righteous or indignant about it? Do you get almost better than them in your thinking? Or just appalled at the way they're living? Or do you see them as someone that's really in need of a rescue? Now, I'm telling you, I'm talking to all of us because you have to really gear yourself down. I know. You see that going on, it just kind of gets all over you because you don't live that way and you know the consequence of it and you're almost appalled that the people would do that and, you know, blatantly in your face and there's kids out here and they're living that way and it's wrong and we ought to stand up for what's right. Yeah. Stay with me. But we ought to also perceive this person is in bondage and they need to be saved.
Yes,
just as if we were to walk by a slave camp and see somebody in a slave camp. They need to be rescued. Who's going to do it? Who's going to tell them? That's us. We got to live this life and shine the light and be the witness, be the hope that may set someone free because sin does bind people, see? And Jesus came to save us from our sin. Oh, I love that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, he looked at it and saw the bondage. He looked at it and saw the torment. He looked at it and saw the slavery that we were all under and in. In fact, he looked at a world that was nothing but slaves. In Adam, we are but slaves to sin, that's all. Now, slaves are not always bad if you've got a good master. But sin's a hard taskmaster. You can be a servant or slave to God. It's the best thing you could ever be. Because the benefits are just literally out of this world. The wages of sin is death. That's the pay you get for sin. But the gift of God's eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. And so, you know, I'm serving God. In one sense, I'm serving a slave to Him. And that's a good thing because the benefits are just amazing. But I've got set free from my sin.
Amen.
Now, I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what it may be. Maybe something you're dealing with. You know, we all deal with things. Don't just let it ride. Don't just let it slide. It's old Bachman Turner Overdrive song, "Let It Ride, Let It Ride." Anyway, okay. Pay no attention to that if you don't know what I'm talking about. Don't just let it ride. Don't just ignore. Ignoring the facts doesn't change the facts. Ignoring the facts doesn't make the facts go away. Pulling the sheet over your head and hoping all the bad people go away doesn't make the bad people go away. If there's something you're dealing with, pray. Ask God to help you. Hallelujah. He has come to save you from your sin.
Amen.
I got good news for you. God wants to deliver you from it. He wants to save you from it. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. It may be gossip. It may be, God bless you. It may be sneezing. I don't know. But I mean, could be anything. But I'll tell you what, until you come to Him, He can't help you. Until you call on Him, He can't save you. But whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from this sin, saved from that sin, saved from this bitterness, anger, immorality, or whatever the case may be. Hello. God wants you to live holy. He does. Why? Because sin enslaves us. That's why. And He came, praise God, to set us free from it. Notice Romans 6. Turn there if you will. This is a tremendous book that Paul wrote, a treatise on grace. Saved by grace. It's parallel to Galatians. Galatians is a great book. Just 6 chapters there in Galatians. Romans has 16, a little more. But he's talking about who we are in Christ, how we've been made free in Christ, how we're saved by grace, and so on and so forth. Tremendous book. It's just written like a lawyer. He's just writing it down case after case, point after point. Hallelujah, we've been set free. And this 6th chapter deals with being free from sin. That's why I love that. And I want you to think of it that way. Free from sin. Free from sin. I'm free from sin. I've talked to a lot of Christians, and I know you have too. And if you're not careful, you'll think this way from time to time. That Jesus just saved us from the penalty of our sin. Or Jesus saved us just from the consequence of our sin. We don't go to hell, we go to heaven. Well, that's true. He did that, but that's not all He did. I know it's redundant. I seem to be repeating myself, but I do that a lot. That's how we get a hold of truth. He saved us from our sins. Get it? That means something. How many of you believe you're going to heaven?
Amen.
Okay? That's the penalty of sin. See? Hell. I'm going to heaven. I'm missing hell. I'm going to heaven. He saved me from the penalty of sin. But you know what? You're also saved from your sin. Jesus is a Savior. When the angels appeared to the shepherds, they said, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He's called the Savior. All through the Scripture, He's called the Savior. Thank God He saved me from this present evil world. Thank God He has delivered me from this present evil world. Thank God I don't have to live like I used to live. I'm not in bondage to the sins I used to be in bondage to. And when they try to get back on me, praise God, I can pray. I have a Savior who will save me from my sin. This addiction, if it's an addiction, He'll save me from it. Hallelujah. He has. He's just waiting for me to call. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not just for heaven. Saved from sin. Have you called on God about your sin? Hello. This is a good message. It's not a bad message. I'm not condemning anybody. Here, are you with me? This is a good message. This will set you free. This will help you. This helps me a lot. Amen. Lots of times I feel the pull. I feel the tug. The pull of the world. The pull of sin. The temptation to do this or say this. And sometimes I give in and have to repent. But if I will stop and say, "God, save me from this. Thank you, you have delivered me. I don't have to do this. I've been delivered. Oh, praise the Lord." Amen? I've been delivered by His Word. Big change in me. That's the way the song goes. Big change in me. Oh, big change in me. I am so happy. I am so free. He brought me out of bondage into liberty. Whoa, big change in me. Some of y'all heard the song. Some of you wish you hadn't heard the song. But anyway. Okay. Romans 6. Romans 6, think about it. Delivered from sin. 12th verse says, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Wow. He's telling me not to let it reign. Like I have a choice. Yes, you do. Well, I can't help myself. Yes, you can. Well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. You yielded to him. I was preaching one time way down below Houma, Louisiana, down in Chauvin, Louisiana, down in Terrebonne country. I think it was called Bayou Black. They called it Bayou because it come by your house. But I was preaching to St. Paul Christian Church. Leroy Champagne was the pastor. True story. I'm not making this up. And I was a minister down there, and the church just got started. There were a bunch of Catholics that had gotten full of the Holy Ghost, and I mean, they started a church, you know. And they called it St. Paul Christian Church. And they was shouting the victory. Anyway, I went down there and ministered. This was back in 1980, I think. It's been a long time before we even started the church. And it started out in a home, and he had a pretty big, good-sized living room. Leroy Champagne did. He was the pastor, Pastor Champagne. And I was preaching there, and it was packed out. It was just one of those Mark II moments where Jesus preached. There was no room at the door, you know. I've been in homes like that where they started churches, and I was preaching. I was just having a big time, and I preached. I forgot what I preached. I was preaching on the power of the Word, and gave an invitation for salvation, invitation to baptism, Holy Ghost, and so on and so forth. And you couldn't pray for anybody up front. There was no front. I was just standing like on a step going in another room, and there was no altar. There's just no way. It was just, there's people all in there. And so I'd pray for them, and they'd be way back at the back. And I'd pray for them just where they were standing, you know. And this one lady, she got up, and she said, I never will forget it. She said, oh, pray for me. I was down at the liquor store the other day, and the devil told me to go in and get me a fifth of whiskey. And I did. Pray for me, get rid of that devil. She was way back at the back. I said, sister, the devil didn't make you do that. You did that. Now you need to repent and ask God to forgive you and quit listening to the devil, you know. But I never will forget. Oh, the devil made me do it. She's been listening to Flip Wilson or something. I don't know. But anyway, I tell you, it was pretty neat, though. I prayed for her to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. She repented. And I mean, boy, she hollered and screamed, fell out back there at the back, didn't even touch her. Whoa! She got it. It was a wild service. But anyway. But how many times we do that, we can't help. I just couldn't help myself. Something just came all over me. Oh, yeah, something came all over you. You. You need to get delivered from yourself. I could tell you some stories. But anyway, okay. Thank God that lady got set free. See, we feel like we're in a box sometimes. We feel like we're trapped. We feel like we can't help it. We've got to do this. No, you don't have to do anything. Well, here I go again with that same old sin. Here I come, Lord, with that same old sin. Well, let's repent of that old sin and start saying, praise God, I've got power over this sin. In Jesus' name, I'm free from this sin. He saved me from this sin. I don't have to live like this. I don't have to keep doing it. And you know what? Quit it. Just quit it. I don't hate you. God doesn't hate you. Don't beat yourself over the head. Don't condemn yourself. Just quit it and go on. Well, I'm just no good and I'm sorry. No, you're not sorry. You're not no good and you're not worthless. God loves you. You are important. You have infinite value in the eyes of God. Jesus came and died for you because he loved you so much. God is going to give you everything one day, the world, the universe, everything. Come on, don't play that game. Don't you listen to that lie. You're not a victim. You're not worthless. You're not sorry. You're not a nobody. No, you are somebody now. You are a Christian. Hallelujah. You got power you didn't have before. You got somebody that loves you and will stand with you and support you and back you up that you never had before. You got the Master, the Savior. Hallelujah. The Maker of the universe on your side, on your inside. You count. Everything you look at, everything you see will pass away and you will live on. You look at all this as an old tale one day. Oh, my. We live so below our rights and privileges as a Christian, as a believer. We give in to so much. We endure what we ought to be overcoming. Hello. And quit too soon. And just settle for mediocrity. God, deliver me from mediocrity. Deliver me from it. I'm a child of God, washed in the blood. I don't have to live like everybody else. I don't have to give in to sin. Well, everybody else is doing it. Well, I'm not everybody else. I'm a Christian. That's not condemnation. That ought to stir you. Challenge you. Amen. Think about it. Jesus, and he's saying here, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Evidently, they had trouble with it, just like you and I do. They were having problems with it. And Paul was calling them to account. He was saying, look, quit this now. You don't have to do this. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it and its lust. See, that's what we're not realizing. When we sin, we are going into slavery to that thing. It is enslaving us. It is put, the fences are coming up. The chains are coming on. Whether we realize it or not, we are being lorded over by this thing. We don't often look at it that way. Think maybe it's a pleasurable thing for a moment. The sin, pleasure of sin is for a season. But what happens is it enslaves us. Then it just becomes our Lord. Jesus came to break the chains. He came to save us. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God, the gate's open. What are you doing in the prison? The shackles, the chains, they've been broken. You've been delivered. Break free, break free. Get up and dance. Woo! That's what happens in worship. You know, we get to realize, I'm free. Hallelujah, I've been free. Woo! Get up and dance. Just can't handle it anymore. Got to jump up and shout and holler. You know, I mean, isn't that amazing on TV? You see it all the time. People found out they won $1 million or whatever. They don't go, good deal. Glad to hear it. About time. Are you kidding? They can't even hold a microphone to most of those people when they first hear it. I mean, it's the craziest, the most wild. I've seen people and I think, what in the world are they doing? They're excited. They just won $1 million. And some of them just faint. I've seen them just pass out. You got to wave and get them back. Come on. What happened? Oh, and they fall out again, you know. Just the excitement of what's happened to them. We need to get up and dance. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so he says this. 13th verse. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now serve God. Brother Osteen used to always say this. I never will forget those days. Hundreds of people would get saved. I mean, when we were going there, I mean, literally 100 a week on average would be saved in those services. Of course, it's a church of thousands, you know. But we would go up, and Brent and I were the head counselors there, and we would pair up people. We had 75 counselors. Goodness, how many do we have? We had 175 counselors. We had 175 counselors that we were over, and at the invitation, we would pair people up when he'd give the invitation for people to be saved. Man with a man, woman with a woman. And we tried to even pair them up. If it was a black person with a black person, Hispanic person with a Hispanic person. We weren't profiling, but, you know, they're more comfortable. You know, if someone of your own, especially back then, some of your own color or race or whatever. And I know people make a lot of big deals about that, but we want people to be able to receive the truth without any hindrances. So we tried to do that, especially with Spanish people, because some of them we weren't sure if they spoke English. But we'd pair them up and we'd, you know, make sure everybody, you know, I had somebody, a counselor with them, and then we would take them off to the counseling room. But Brother Osteen would always say, and it was just amazing, he'd say, I can tell you how you can serve God. I'll give you a surefire way. Serve God. You want to serve God? And they all go, yes. You come into Jesus here tonight, I can tell you how you can serve God. Surefire way, you can serve God, not have any problems from now on. You really want to know what it is? You want to know what it is? I mean, he was real dramatic, you know. He said, here it is. If you will give God the same time you gave the devil, you will never have any problems serving God. If you give him all your free time, give him all your weekends, you know how you couldn't wait to get off work and go serve the devil? Well, if you have that same kind of passion about God, look forward to serving God, look forward to going to church, you'll never have any problem. You say that all the time. You know, and I thought, man, that's so true. God's wanting our passion. He's wanting us to yield our members to him. And if we'll do that, see, then what happens, we'll get enamored and enraptured and enslaved in a good way to serving God. We're so wrapped up in this that we can't serve the devil. I just can't help myself. I can, but the more I do this, the more it becomes a part of me, see? See, this is like a great drama or a play that we're playing in that's different than the world. I like to say it that way. It's always helped me to think of it this way. If I were acting out a part in a play, well, it's one day the play's over and I go back to being myself. You see all these actors and movies and so on, and you think they're pretty good, and then they're off the set and they begin to talk, and you think, my, he's an idiot. But anyway, they're acting a part. That's all they're doing. They're just acting a part. They don't, you know, and then they become, I get tickled when they want to make political statements. Well, they don't know anything about politics. They're just shut up and sing, okay? Or act or whatever. It's just, they're actors. Everybody say act.
Act.
Now, there's some good ones and there's some bad ones. They're just people. Don't get confused about the part they're playing with who they really are when the show's over. But see, this is different. This is what's so good about this. If you will act out the part here, love when God says love, live holy when he says live, you know what will happen? You will actually become it. Whereas acting a part in a play, you don't become that. You always go back to who you are. This will keep you from going back to who you were. So act it out. Put on love. You said it's just to put on. Well, that's all right, put it on. Starts out as a put on. Starts out as an act, but then it becomes a lifestyle. And that's what he's telling you. Don't yield yourself to sin, because what will happen, it will take you over. Yield yourself to God and let him take you over. He said, well, I will be under the influence of no one. I'm sorry, it's too late for that. You're already under the influence of something. Everybody's under the influence of something. We're influenced by our culture, our custom, our sin, our habits, our friends, God, the Bible, Jesus, church. God's just saying make intelligent choices here. Choose to be influenced by the right person, right thing. And that is God's word, amen? Because he will help you. He has delivered you from your sin. If you'll just help, call on him, he'll help you. No question. He'll help you. So he says this, 14th verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you. It is not the will of God that you be enslaved to a sin, dominated by sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you. I can't help my... No, you can't. You can help yourself in this sense. You can call on God and he can save you from your sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. Hallelujah. What then, shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Certainly not. God forbid. That's not what he's saying. He's not saying it's okay. Everything's fine now. You're forgiven. See, it's more than just being forgiven. He didn't just forgive you from the penalty of your sin or save you from the penalty. He saved you from your sin. Y'all see that? Isn't that good? It's not just about being forgiven. No, no, no. He's saying, look, I'm delivering you from your sin. 16th verse. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one, slaves or servants whom you obey. Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Man, isn't that good? See, he's telling us I'm free from sin. I've been saved from it. Jesus has saved me from my sin. John 8, I'll close out with this. I just want to keep you a few more minutes here. It's helping you? That's something to chew on. I want you to chew on. I want you to meditate on that. Think about that the next few days. When you think about Jesus saving you and saving you, you know, what does that mean to you? Taking you to heaven, saved from the penalty? No, saved from it. I've been saved from it. You know, I've been changed. You would not believe the Michael Williams I was before Jesus, before I accepted Jesus. Actually, that wasn't me. That old man died. Now I'm a new man in Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. I'm not the same because I've been saved from that. I used to love doing that. Now I can't, I wouldn't, are you kidding? I would not enjoy living the way I used to live. I used to enjoy the way I used to live, and I would not enjoy living the way I'm living now. But it, do I? No, I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't trade that for anything. Some people say, well, look at what I gave up. Oh, my goodness, gave up. What are you talking about? Gave up drugs? Gave up waking up not knowing where you are? Gave up waking up in jail? Gave up losing all my money? Gave it all up for Jesus. It's not about what I quit. It's about what I got. Not what I gave up. Look at what I got. I got a whole new life. Man, I got a wife and I got a family that's serving God. I got peace. I got confidence. I can lay down at night knowing I'm going to heaven and my children are serving God and God protects them. It doesn't matter what comes my way. I got a healer. I got a deliverer. I got a peace giver. I got a life giver. Praise God. I'm a winner. Praise God. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. I can make it now. I used to have fear. I got faith now. I can face the future with courage now. Not worry about it. Woo! Jesus, John 8 chapter says this. Notice this, and it is a familiar verse. We all know this one. John 8, 31 and 32 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Amen.
The truth will make you free. You know, I mentioned earlier, sometimes we condemn ourselves and get down on ourselves and say we're worthless and we're nobody and we don't count. That's a lie. The truth is, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You're more than a conqueror through him that loved you. He always caused you to triumph in Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That's the truth. And the truth, if you get a hold of it and continue in it, the truth will make you free. Free from what? Free from sin. What I need to be free from sin. Because sin is bondage. Sin keeps you in slavery. See, we got to realize that. That was the problem these Pharisees had. They didn't realize they were in slavery. Let's read on a little further. 33rd verse. And they answer him, these Pharisees, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. What's he talking about? Being free from sin. Y'all get this? Did you know if you continue in God's word, you can get free from sin? You can get free from it. Not just the penalty. You can get free from it. You should know the truth. The truth will make you free. Well, I'm not a slave. Well, he said, well, if you commit sin, you're a slave to sin. Y'all see that? It's 35th verse. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Not just free, one day, free right now. Free indeed. Oh, hallelujah. You know, I was meditating on this today. I'm going to share this. I was debating whether I ought to or not. Mandy, forgive me. But I was meditating on this morning. Early this morning, I'd gone to Walmart. I'd gotten gas because it's cheaper there. In case you don't know, gas cheaper at Walmart. Go in there and get you a Walmart card. Come back out and you get 3 cents off. Anyway, I set you free from high gas prices just like that. But anyway, I went over there early this morning. I had to pick up some things, and naturally I went by Starbucks because there's one over in Terrell, in case you didn't know. And I was coming to the office, coming down 80, and doing what I normally do. Yeah, moving right along. I was praying in the Holy Ghost. I pray a lot in the Holy Ghost when I'm driving. I just do that. And I meditate a lot on what I'm going to be ministering on or what I've been studying that week or whatever. It's more revelation will come that way. If I can give you a secret that'll help you in the Word coming alive, I can tell you how to do it. Yeah. You think about that during the day.
That's right.
You say, when? Well, don't you drive a car? You go places. Sometimes you're alone a lot more than you think you are. If you just do that and just pray in tongues, or if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost and pray about that scripture and go over that scripture. So I was meditating on being free from sin. I was just meditating, you know, thinking, praise God, I'm free from my sin. I'm free from my sin. I'm free from sin. Oh, hallelujah. Free from God, you've been so good to me. I was thanking God, you know, all these years that I know better than do that. Every time I do that, I start crying. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for who I am and where I am today. I know I am what I am because of Jesus. I know that. I know that. I'm nothing without him. And so I think about it a lot. I thank God a lot. So I was thinking about this. And I'm free from sin. I'm free from sin. And I'll start singing in tongues. And I started singing, you know, Sometimes I get a rhyme start going, and I was an Elmo, of all places. And these words started coming to me as I was singing this song. I don't know if I get the tune right. But the words go like this. He's freed me from the bondage and the chains that held me tight. He's freed me from the darkness. I've stepped into the light. He has freed me from my blindness and restored me to me my sight. He has freed me from what's wrong with me, and now he's made me right. Free, free, free from all that held me down. I'm free, 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 and now I'm heaven bound. I'm free, free, free from the sin that stained my soul. I'm free, 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 and now he's made me whole. Anyway, I can't sing it because I'm all choked up here. But anyway, it just came like that. And I was scribbling, holding my Starbucks, driving down the road, trying to write this down. And as soon as I got to the office, I went into Man's office. I said, you got to see, I just got this coming down 80. And I wrote it down, typed it up real quick, you know. But I got to thinking, God has freed me. He's freed me. He's freed us. Listen to this. I wish I could get the tune, but my brain's going another direction right now. He's freed me from the bondage and the chains that held me tight. He's freed me from the darkness. I have stepped into the light. He has freed me from my blindness, and he's restored to me my sight. He's freed me from what's wrong with me, and now he's made me right. Free, free, free from all that held me down. Free, free, free. Now I'm heaven bound. Free, free, free from the sin that stained my soul. Free, free, free. Now he's made me whole. Isn't that good? That's what God has done for us. He has freed us from sin. Not just from hell. Not just from the penalty. Not just from the wages. But from it. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen.